Wasn't it yesterday I held his small feet? It was. Wasn't it yesterday he tore down the street? It was. Wasn't it yesterday he first bumped his head? My heart started racing for fear he was dead. He looked up at me, not a tear did he shed. It was. He's no longer present. He isn't quite past. Wasn't it yesterday the bus pulled away? It was. Was it my promise that he'd be okay? Because they turn and they ask, just as everyone does. Please, ma'am, can you tell us who Sam Bradley was?
I have some wonderful people here who are going to talk to us this evening about Bully the Musical. And actually, I'm just going to sit back and say, Aaron, let's go with it.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to introduce people because you've got all their names right and I'm going to mispronounce them. We do have some music we can play back and forth here once in a while, but go for it.
Terrific. Well, I guess I'll start by introducing everybody here. I'm Aaron Alon. I'm the writer and composer of Bully. With me is Tamara Seiler, Brad Gertz, and Amanda Passanante, who you just heard singing the song Was from the musical Bully. Bully is a new dramatic musical that's about a 14-year-old who commits suicide after having been bullied on suspicion of being gay at his school. We see not just the suicide, but everything leading up to it, including learning about his family, the bullies' families, and then we see the after effects on him, on his family and on his entire town. So in the musical, we have a demo recording that we've been working on, and we're also filming a demo scene from that. Brad plays the father, Mr. Bradley, as well as one of the people in a song that we're going to hear in a little while, which is the It Gets Better song. Amanda plays the mother of the young man who commits suicide, Mrs. Bradley, as well as one of the characters in the It Gets Better song. And Tamara sings the first mourner in another song that we'll hear tonight, which is Raise Your Voice. And have I forgotten anything?
I don't think so. I think you covered it.
That's it. Oh, you're okay. Good. How did this happen? I mean, people don't wake up one morning and say, you know, I think I'm going to do something about bullying. You know, is this a personal? I mean, it's personal to everybody, but is it, there's a reason behind all this, or is it just something that it's time to be done?
I just feel deeply passionate about using the arts as a vehicle for catalyzing change and starting discussions about important social issues. I've done that in my classical music, and I'm hoping to do that in the musical theater work that I do as well. I was trying to think of a subject matter that was personal to me and that I thought was important and contemporary, and bullying seemed to fit the bill.
Well, in this day and age, yeah, it's very prevalent. But I can't think of a better way to reach people, because people aren't going to sit there and say, well, let's talk about this over coffee, you know. But if they see it out somewhere in an evening where they're, you know, there to enjoy themselves, so to speak, and
it's true.
They actually learn something, they'll go home with it on their lips.
Yeah. And you don't really get much of that in Broadway at this point now. There's not really much about bullying out there, except maybe Matilda or Carrie, but they have supernatural powers to help them with their bullies.
Well, and the thing about this is, it's easy to sit down over coffee and say, well, I saw Bowling the Musical last night and blah, you know, and it just comes out. And for the next 4 hours, you know, you're talking about this. And that's something that people need to be doing, is talking about this topic.
And this is one of the reasons why we wanted to, instead of going to a stage version, we wanted to do this as a film. So Thunderclap Productions, a theater company that I co-founded, I serve on the board. Tamara also serves on the board. We wanted to do this as a film. So we've sought to do something fairly ambitious, which is our first full-length independent film. And the reason is because we want to get this out there. We want to have this conversation happen in Houston and around the country. So we want to put this online. We want to put this, if possible, in movie theaters. We want to get this out there where people can access it, see it, go home with it, talk about it. And, you know, I also want to say, we talk about bullying as a contemporary issue, but really, it's a very long-lasting, very old issue.
Oh,
it's really our social awareness of it that's raising, and that in our discussion of it in the popular press, even when we hear about these kids who commit suicide after being bullied in school, that is something I think we're just talking about more now. I don't think it's actually happening more. So I think it's so critically important that we're talking about it, and that we're using every opportunity that we have and every means that we have to do that, including the arts.
Yeah, I agree with that. And in the movie form, it's not unrealistic, I don't think, to actually find it in the school someday, you know, where they can use it as a teaching tool. I obviously haven't seen it yet, but I, you know, that's where it needs to be. That's where it needs to start with the kids.
Well, as a board member and an educator, I work from the high school side of things, very often being a college admissions officer, I know that my colleagues on that high school side are constantly looking for tools to help them start meaningful discussions, to sort of spur the students to share their experiences. And I think what's really sort of special about this work is that it does look at bullying from a variety of different vantage points, not only the student that's being bullied, the community, the families, but even from the bullies themselves, you know, that not all bullies are necessarily the same or motivated by the same types of things. And some of them may be victims themselves, and that somehow we have to get to the source of why people bully, and before we ever can tackle the idea of ending it.
I remember years ago, I mean, I'm a little old, I can't pass out being young here with all of you looking at me, but back years and years ago, when I was much, much younger, I finally confronted my brother and told him he was a bully. And it was like, oh, I'm not a bully, I'm just your brother and I'll look out for you. It's like, no. Back in the olden days, I weighed over 300 pounds. And my brother didn't, obviously. And he would call me all kinds of names and try to shame me into doing things and so on and so forth. And I was like, you're a bully. There's no two ways about it. And, of course, I was an adult by then. But even, you know, this hits in the home and people don't, I'm just your big brother. No, it's not. It's the same thing. It just doesn't quite carry over the same way as strangers and so on do. But, yeah, it's something that's been going on for as long as there have been people.
And what's important about the way Aaron has chosen to write this is that you get a glimpse of all the different family dynamics that can exist out there. It's not a stereotype of one type of bully that somebody thinks of,
right.
But it's where does that come from? What does that family look like? What does this other family look like? And those things can all create different types of bullies.
Exactly. I think this is exciting myself. Well, that's why you're here, because I thought it was exciting. So.
Well, thank you again for having us.
Oh, no, I watch your stuff. I do. I keep an eye on you. So, do y'all want to play another song, or
should we set one up for you?
Yeah, set it up.
Well, all right, let's...
Yeah, sneak up on you.
What do you guys think?
Or do you want to talk some more?
Well, you
know, you don't have to.
Do you think it gets better? Or you played Waz.
Yeah, I guess we could do It Gets Better. Most people are...
or it does.
A lot of people these days are familiar with the It Gets Better project. It was a project started by Dan Savage and his partner Terry, where in response to a rash of highly publicized by the media... publicized is the wrong word, but highly covered suicides. They created a video where they talked about being bullied themselves and the experiences that they had, and they made a promise to young people that they said, just hang in there, we promise it gets better. And since then, scores of people have created their own videos, and this outpouring of emotion and social support, including large organizations like Pixar and NASA and really famous individuals, and just ordinary people too, just turning on their webcams and making a video. It's been really exciting. So for one of the scenes in this, I imagine that after our character Sam Bradley commits suicide, that a number of people would have been inspired to have created their own It Gets Better videos. So this is a scene where we hear four It Gets Better videos being filmed at once. So we go back and forth to all the different people as they sing their It Gets Better stories, talking about having been bullied and having made it through into adulthood.
Wow. Okay. Powerful stuff. So you... Okay. So we're going to keep talking about it for a few more minutes.
All right.
A couple more minutes. So you sing this song, don't you, Brad?
All four of us do.
All four of you do. Okay.
I'm not in that one.
Four of you do.
Yeah, there are four people. Four.
But yeah, okay. Well, I heard a portion of it, so I'm thankful you I'm hearing.
One thing that's interesting as a performer in the film media that has the CD recording on top of it is that you have to be able to have that forethought of what you expect to do when you're actually doing the filming. So that was kind of a challenge and something new for me to try and envision that so that you can incorporate that into your singing before you ever get to the film.
Okay. Well, now I think they're ready for us. Okay.
I was 12 and just a girl, if still a tomboy. And the kids all laughed and made up nasty lies. But then she came up and said really gentle things instead. Pretty soon she moved away from me. I was beautiful. All the boys adored me, and the girls would look with envy in their eyes, and they never understood why I would or how I could try to end a perfect life and be set free. It would never get better. It was already too late.
I was 15 then, and God, how I was frightened by the men who should be boys with me in class. and I hope to disappear and to never have to hear what they'd call me if they saw me standing there. I was 17 and still I was a virgin when my father talked of fags and kicking ass. And I wondered, could he see that he was attacking me? So I prayed to God to hear my desperate prayer.
I was 16 soon and living on my own when all my family said, act the part or leave. It was tough out on my own, left with nothing I had known, but at least I knew the woman standing there. No one understood why I had sought my exit. No one could conceive of what I had to grieve. So they had me pop some pills, level out the vales and hills, and they called it progress when I couldn't care.
It would only be trudging.
It would only wear on. I could see they were judging.
I could see God was
gone. No one heard my voice.
No one heard my voice.
No one gave a damn.
But I made it through, though beaten, I'm not broken. And it turns out that this world is not so small. High school ends, you move away, and you make it into day. From a darkness you had never guessed you'd shake. I was 22 when I gave up on praying. I dropped my vow and told my family all. And I saw my mother cry, and I thought my dad would die. But with time they proved they weren't so quick to break.
I'm a woman now, and though I've lost my parents, I have tasted of the joy of being seen by a family of my friends. Though we may be odds and ends, they're the reason why I'm glad to be awake. When I came of age, I left that wretched city, left the meds and left the normalcy machine. If I live or if I die, at least I have a reason why. I believe I'm more than beauty or mistake.
And so I've prevailed now.
I'd have thought it absurd, but I'm glad that I failed now.
That my prayers went unheard. Though life may be bleak now, there's a promise of bliss. Though you're weary and weak now, you will your dreams. You're not as alone as it seems.
Just kind of takes your breath away at first. It's like, okay, I'm composed now.
We're excited about that.
No, I've heard it before. You know.
Yeah, we That's, you know, this is all demo materials at this point, and we're planning on doing one filmed demo scene that we're going to be shooting next month, and that's the music you just heard is for that demo scene. So that's the one we're going to be doing, just to sort of show people what we are and what we're doing, and to try to get people excited about this project, and also hopefully find some funders to help us with the overwhelming cost of producing an independent film.
Yeah. Well, if that doesn't get their attention, nothing will.
Well, thank you.
You know, that was amazing. So, all right. So, you know, most projects take a lot out of your life, but what if something like this must just be all-consuming? I mean, really. How do you cope with that and still do the normal things people do every day, you know? Really, I mean, I know what directing a simple play, and it's, you know, it's not simple, but a play at Suburbia takes 4 full months out of my life, which is about all I can give to it right now. Mm. Something like this, I can imagine, would just, you eat, sleep, and drink it, you know, all the time. And
yeah, I think it's a few things. I spend a long time working on these projects and writing and revising and revising and revising. I think also part of it is that I make sure that I do several different projects at the same time, which may seem counterintuitive, but it actually gives me some breathing room from different projects so that I can come back to it and feel fresh and continue to feel excited by it and have new energy to give to it, because I've been working on this other project, or I've been focused more on my teaching or whatever it may be. But I try to, people see me as just spreading myself too thin, and there is some truth to that. But there's also the fact that it's the same reason why I tend to read several books at the same time. I like having that
vital life issue.
Yeah, I like having that freshness.
I think we all have that in this profession too. We kind of tend to spread ourselves thin, but sometimes it's feast or famine, and then sometimes you feel like you're spreading yourself too thin for a really long time. But
that's true.
We're creatures of variety, so.
And we're also people who obsess, so if we don't have more than one thing.
Gee, what a surprise.
Well, and you know, one of the great things about Aaron and working with him is that he really, I mean, well, I'm sure that all of us bring our egos to the table, but but at the same time, I think he's very open to feedback, very open
Absolutely.
To suggestion. That's true. He really does want to learn from performers, you know, what feels good, what feels right, what, you know, I remember a conversation is, you were trying to choose between 2 words, and you put it out on and you put it out on Facebook, and you were basically like, you know, which one would you use? And you had all these people that chimed in, and you know, there's not a lot of I mean, at least a number of the writers that I have met would not necessarily be as open to that, and you're trying to pick, but also there's a level of wanting to be true to what real people would say, as opposed to, you know, just what I as a writer or somebody's putting it together, and you know, it may sound good to me, but does it really sound real to other people? So I just remember being struck that day, and I apparently picked the word that other people did not pick.
Oh, okay. That would be me.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I think so did I.
Well, that's definitely openness when you're willing to, you know, pick that's and choose true. And share words. So
Aaron even ended up changing some of the lyrics in that first song that we played, which was the song that the character Mrs. Bradley sings about her about coming to terms with having lost her son. And as I was working on it, I was going through the lyrics, and I something occurred to me that I thought would be interesting, and so I emailed Aaron about it, thinking, you know, here was my thought, do with it what you want. And he wrote back and said, thank you very much for your thoughts, and here's a few versions of the verse. Which one do you like? So it's very refreshing first of all, it's refreshing for an actor or singer to work on a new piece and to develop
absolutely.
A new character. That's, definitely. You know, everybody's dream, right? Yeah. But to be working with somebody who really does value our feedback, and, you know, sometimes may not agree, but will always take it and listen to it, is a really wonderful thing for us.
That's hard to find.
It really goes both ways, too. I've had the great privilege of working with some of the most talented people in Houston, and I'm just endlessly grateful for that opportunity. You guys are amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent sitting in this room. That side of the room. Yeah, I mean, it just kind of, I thought, maybe a little awesome, you know, it'll just kind of breeze over my way. No, I don't feel any smarter or better, so. So I surround myself with it, you know, and it works. So, but when you get your demo done, I know you said you're doing this next week or soon.
The demo CD is going to be finished by the end of this month, mm-hmm. and there's one track currently online on our website, which is bullythemusical.com. The others, people can pre-order it by making a donate as just a $15 donation. Yes, you did, and thank you for that. And eventually, some of those tracks will also appear online. Mm-hmm. The demo film that we're making of the song that we just played, mm-hmm. It Gets Better, we're going to be making that late next month.
Next month.
Yes. Next week. So that'll probably be edited in November and then posted to the website soon after that.
Okay. I'm just wondering when I could look forward to seeing it, you know.
Well, we'll definitely keep you posted.
All right. That sounds good. And I hope, you know, I'm not sure how you're going to do it. I'm sure you have all of your sources in place, but I really think that you're going to find the funding for something like this.
Well, we certainly hope so, yeah.
And it'll be local funding. I know I'll push it for you.
Well, thank you.
I don't have a lot of money, but I can push it. I got a big mouth. Not everybody listens to me, but once in a blue moon, we get real lucky.
Well, we're hopeful that, you know, this message that we're trying to get out will resonate with some people. And we know that that Houstonians are extremely supportive of the arts, and that the idea of being behind something that isn't, you know, yet another production of something that, you know, they've seen before, and like this original piece that also has such an important and profound message, will be something that people will want to be a part of. That they'll say that they, you know, that they were part of this. So. Yeah.
They want their name on that brass plaque at the door. I was on the ground floor of this. And that's exactly why you'll find the funding for it. It's because it is so different and so in your face right now. And we just started another school year and all these things have already happened. So, yeah, you're gonna do that. And have you thought about reaching out? I'm sure you have. Why am I sitting here thinking these things? Thought about reaching out directly to people like the Montrose Center and places like that, even HISD and so on, as a whole, and then breaking it down into the parts of the groups or subsections of those organizations that might be willing to step in there and help.
Yeah, this is part of the reason why we're making this demo CD, mm-hmm. and the demo film right now, to really show people what we're doing and the level that we're doing it at, and, you know, having such great performers and high quality. We recorded this at Ware Road Studios, which is one of the finest recording studios in the city. It's being professionally edited. We're bringing in a cinematographer from Dallas to film this, even just this one scene that we're doing. Mm-hmm. We've got Justin Doran, who's one of the probably the most amazing director I've ever seen in action, directing that one scene. I love watching Justin at work. It's always an amazing thing. And
that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come watch.
So, you know, we want to prepare these demo materials, and then we're hoping to spread the word to organizations that have an interest in this kind of thing. So contacting HRC and that's the Human Rights Campaign, mm-hmm. as well as the Trevor Project and local groups, national groups, and try to really get the word out and see who would be interested in helping sponsor a type of project like this. We'd like to see individual scenes posted online and at the end say, "This scene was brought to you by," kind of thing. So.
Oh, that works. Yeah, like I said, everybody wants their name on that brass plaque.
Well, and so. We felt it was important to have something tangible that people could to judge that quality, because we know that, you know, people have so many, you know, there's always great ideas out there. You know, and you know, there are so many people who are well-meaning in their ideas, but you know, the level of execution can be varied. And I think we wanted to be able to really give people the confidence that we were committed to presenting a high-quality product, and to that would really do this message justice. I think that, you know, certainly I think people are wary of you know, possibly doing even more damage if you don't put the right things out there and do it in the right way. And I think we've been there, and Aaron, of course, being the leader of this, and his heart being where it is, I think, you know, I think that putting this all together and wanting to be really quality in everything that we do, the you know, being able to perform next to these wonderful performers, and some of them I've worked with, some of them I hadn't worked with before. So I think that it's all coming together, and I hope that we're putting together a project that people will want to be part of.
This is the one who didn't know how to talk and didn't want headphones, right? All right. Well, you certainly get your point across. So, do you want to set up another piece of music, or?
Sure, that would be great.
Sure. Well, be sure we get all these in.
Brad, do you want to talk about this one? This is your song, Did He Think?
Yes, this is sung by my character, Mr. Bradley, and he is singing about the fact that he and his wife are now estranged, and after this occurs, it's even farther apart for the two of them. They definitely have an It's Complicated status on their Facebook. And so Mr. Bradley is having...
That's where Cutlera gets.
Just like Denise Richards. So they have this estrangement, and then this happens to their son, and he is having a moment of introspection and goes through some of the stages that you do after someone passes, especially losing a child, and he sings about that.
Everyone is crying, afraid to speak of death. His mother's hardly breathing, like she holds his final breath. Did he think about his mother, now never to be found? Did he know he'd kill another while he's resting underground? Did he think about this family? Were we doing all that bad? Did he even give a damn he would destroy what chance we had? He never took to baseball. He's not at all. He wasn't at all like me. Maybe he's the boy who just wasn't meant to be. Can't we just erase all of these memories? Are bleak when they're all so fresh and wild. Still, what words did I speak when I last spoke to my child? Why are my memories faded when this has just begun? I guess I've masqueraded as a man
who knew his son. I will never get to see who my boy turns out to be. And though perhaps he now is free, how could he do this?
I'm not even going to try to respond here. It's just, I've listened to that several times, and it's just kind of like, okay. That's it. I'm good. I don't know if Wes is listening or not, but no, he's not. But that one, yeah, that gets to me. So, okay. Talk. Very bad coming here.
I mean, you can feel the pain of, you know, certainly a family's loss, and you know, for those of us, I don't know if any of us have ever experienced, you know, having a friend who, you know, who was so beaten by life that, you know, that and by just trying to be who they are, and then you lost them.
In fact, it did actually happen to me, and that's one of the reasons I feel like a good connection with this character is that he's going through the stages of watching his life maybe start to unravel after a suicide has happened in his family. And the anger is part of it, and then the total mortification. So it's something that a lot of people have gone through, and it's important that somebody's able to connect with that sort of feeling.
I hope that the musical will give everybody something to connect with, things that they've seen before, things that they've experienced themselves, as a number of us have talked about, I don't know if I should say tonight or this morning.
Either way, it works.
Okay. As a number of us have talked about, it's one of the goals of the musical is to try to capture all these different perspectives. And so often we just get these little news stories that are just, they're so short, and they just enter into these people's lives. They storm in, they do their news report, and they're out, and we never find out what happens. We never find out what happens to the bullies or their families, or the families of those who commit suicide, or and I try to give a little bit more of that in the musical. I think that it's also interesting to look at a little bit of the blame game that happens, and the question of who's the real bully here. There are the high school bullies themselves. Sometimes their parents are bullies. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when the press comes in, they become bullies themselves. They hound and stalk everybody and try to get responses and get, they want their story. They want it fast, and they want to get out. If there's a song that hasn't been recorded yet called "The More It Bleeds," based on the old journalism adage, "If it bleeds, it leads."
And not to mention another aspect that you also included in this show is the school itself. How does the school react to something like this when it happens to one of their kids, one of their students? What's the right way? Is there one right way? What's appropriate? Are they glorifying something, or are they really putting a message out that's going to help people instead?
Well, then there's that guilt factor you mentioned, too. And I think that's why this song hits me so hard, is that when I was, yes, I was 15 once. When I was 15, I was the last person to talk to a friend of mine before he committed suicide. Until recently, I never asked why. You don't know. Nobody knows. They're not going to, nobody can answer the question. But back then, when the family was talking to me, and my family was hounding me, and what did y'all talk about, and what did you say, and so on, I never asked why. I mean, he and I did not talk about what he was getting ready to do, but I guess on some level I knew. And it occurred to me, it was like, wow, no wonder they hounded me and harassed me so. It's like, they thought I knew something that I didn't know and that I didn't want to know. Now I want to know, you know. But that song brought all that back out, and it's like, do you realize how long ago that was? That was a half a century ago, or close to it. So, yeah, it's amazing what a piece of music or a short scene or something, but especially music for me, will bring out, you know, the memories of hundreds of years ago. So, shame on you. Shame. And maybe it'll do that, probably will do that for a lot of people.
I hope so. I hope people feel it personally and they reflect on it and think about, you know, the sorts of questions it asks. I don't think that the musical answers a lot of questions. I just hope that it asks a lot.
Ask the question.
I hope it asks some interesting questions, and I hope it gets people talking about this. And
I think that's an important aspect to the way it's played out as well, because if you are an audience member and you go see a show and they answer all of those questions for you, and that answer isn't the one you think you would give in real life, then you can disconnect yourself from it.
Exactly.
But if those questions are not answered, then you have to think about, well, what would I do? How would I finish that storyline?
And if you answer all the questions, then what's the point? Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't think there are ever any answers. I don't think there are any answers to any of this. Except to stop the bullies, and you're not going to do that. So, yes, I especially relate to that song.
So. Thank you. That's a strange
what do you
thing
say?
To thank
I know. Isn't that terrible? But yeah, if somebody can stop and make me think about my teen years, you've done something.
Yep.
You know, because that's not something I've had a kid who had teen years, and I had a granddaughter who's already been through her teen years, and it's like, you put me back there, you've accomplished something, you know. And it also made you stop and realize, wow, it's not new, because people think this is new.
Mm-hmm.
And all it is new media, new sources, new, God help us, computers.
I think we, you know, sadly, you know, for everything that technology has done for us, it's almost like for every victory we get a loss. And I think that technology has made it easier to hurt people in some ways. And I think hurt them without having to look at them and not to feel like there are any consequences to your actions.
But on such a public forum.
Yeah. Oh, and and our reach, I mean, that's the reach that we have now to say, when we say those hurtful things or those things that are questionable, I mean, especially, and if I think back to, you know, being 13, 14, 15 and how powerful things people said to me were at that time, and the things that still linger with me today that I remember that people said, you know, you let it go. I mean, obviously, you know, at some point you have to, if you're going to be free, you have to let it go in some ways. But, you know, as much as you can move forward, there's just always, you can still hear it. Like, you can still hear it in your head. You can still hear you still remember how you felt at that time. You just have to find some way, and hopefully find some way to be strong beside it.
Well, I think you do hear it, but I think you process it differently. You know, you say something ugly to me and 2 million people read it last night. Back in the olden days.
Yeah, I can't believe
true.
I said that.
Back in the olden days, you know, Aaron would say something ugly to me, and I have an opportunity to look him in the eye and respond. And I don't mean retaliate, I mean respond. And you don't have that opportunity anymore. And I think that's why bullying has literally taken over our lives. Because you don't have that opportunity to look somebody in the face and speak your piece or show them how hurt you are or can be or how hurtful they were or whatever. We've desensitized ourselves to we're nothing but a piece of paper. And the television has done the same thing. Mm-hmm. Movies. They've made it too easy to see the blood flow. You know, literally. People want to carry guns. People want to carry weapons of some sort. because they can and because they see it on TV all the time. It's like, wow, why'd you kill this guy? I mean, they ask all the time, why'd you shoot him? I wanted to see somebody bleed. I wanted to see him die. It's like, what? You know, can you imagine before all of this TV and computers and all that? Can you imagine somebody, I just wanted to see if I could kill somebody?
Well, wow. It adds a level of insensitivity. Or desensitizing is really the right word. I mean, I think that there's, when you're bombarded with so much violence, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, sometimes people begin to think their baseline for what is acceptable gets moved.
It does.
And so, and I think that also, you know, and speaking of just the power of technology, I mean, what used to be said to you, like, at your school or something like that, I mean, it stayed within that population. Mm-hmm. I mean, you put it on the internet and instantly, you know, not only does everybody at your school know by the next day, everybody at somebody's school, the whole community knows. And so there's no escape. There's not a place you can go. People at your church know. People at somebody. Mm-hmm. So there's no place to escape. And I think this is why this message is, I think, particularly meaningful now, is that if we don't curtail this, it, you know, with the tools that we have now, the kind of damage that we can do is kind of staggering.
And the saddest part about all that is that all these people do read it, and not one single person that you know is going to walk up and say, is that true? Or can I help in any way? Or, you know, what can we do to stop this, curtail this, make you feel better, whatever. It's all, if I read it on the internet, it must be true. And it's the assumption that all of that is out there is devastating as well.
I hope that people are willing to question what they see on the internet, but I also think that the internet has made it harder to forget or to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Just because once something is on there, it's on there forever. Even if you delete something,
somebody probably saved it at some point, or it's on a server.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not a Facebook person. I use Facebook for games to wear myself out at night so I can go to bed. Okay, that's what Facebook is for. I don't use it as the information highway. But a lot of times I'll be scrolling down, you know, just doing my thing or whatever, and I'll see something, like, wait a minute, what? And I read it. This happened to me just the other day. And I read it. It was my ex. He was talking to somebody else. It was on my, you know, I was reading it. It was like, he said something about going to scatter his dad's ashes. And I went, wait a minute, that was months ago. It was right there in front of me that night. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know where that old, you know, feed came from, but it was right there with a different photograph.
Hmm.
It was like, okay, it never goes away, does it? It just doesn't. It's forever.
That
was a long way around the
mark. Facebook is forever. That's the new tagline.
Well, Facebook is. I think some kids really need to know that. Yeah. Facebook is forever. And it's true.
Hashtag FIF.
But no, I mean, I routinely, I mean, it's kind of sad, but I routinely Google myself just to see what's out there and what comes up. When my name is put in,
it's just scary
because you almost have to think about it professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And every, you know, I work with, you know, when I'm going out to a school, what if a kid Googles me, what are they going to find out about me? What are they going to see about me?
And aren't you just amazed at what you are now?
Yeah. I thank God that some famous author also has my name, so her stuff always comes up and pushes mine towards the back.
Apparently, I'm also a college player, college basketball player in Kansas.
Oh, okay, well, you two enjoy that.
No. You are busy.
Yes. All over the map.
Those freaking flyer miles, man.
Well, I think we need to work the last song in because I don't want to run out of music time here. Run out of time.
Do you want to set this one up to me, or do you want me to?
I'll try, and then you can jump in. No, this last song, you know, I had a privilege of singing the lead on it as the first mourner. It happens at the memorial service, and basically, I think it's I would call it an anthem, just sort of a call to action. you know, acknowledging the loss that's in front of us, but also possibly, I think there's a possible lining of hope in saying that those of us who are left behind really have to take it upon ourselves to be the voice for those who cannot speak any longer, or even, you know, even in advance of tragedy, we need to be vocal about our opposition to anyone, you know, having to deal with somebody, you know, basically persecuting them just for who they are. And I think that's sort of the message here.
The water's still, and yet the tide can swell. The air is hushed, but listens for the knell. The path is deep, but know it's worth the climb. And now is the time, and now is the time to raise your voice for the boy we never knew. Raise your voice for the man we'll never know. And now your voice will be strong and true. Will you use your voice? Will you raise it wherever you go? The dust has passed, and we can hardly see. Through night and storm, to truly being free, the dawn will come and bring the promised light. It will be all right, but now we must fight. So raise your voice for a town forever changed. Raise your voice for the friend we'll never meet.
You're right, anthem. Good word. Yeah. And I was just hearing it peripherally, too. So, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening to completely. But that doesn't mean I can't.
Yeah. And you will have a chance to when it comes out.
Right. Y'all don't know this, but it's out right now. The airwaves.
Yes, it's out on the airwaves.
Yeah. And actually, KPFT will have this available for people to listen to tonight's show for the next 30 days. But GCAM, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History, Inc., archives it forever. So you will always be out there.
KPFT is forever.
KPFT is. GCAM's even more. We've got limited time here before Chris has to do his thing again. And he's ignoring. He doesn't have headphones on, so we'll ignore him, too.
I can hear you.
Oh, he's got it open in there. Okay. Oh, so he gets to hear you in broad spectrum. Okay. So.
Well, Judy, thank you so much again for having us on. It's really been a pleasure to talk with you.
To say it's been wonderful is really hard, and I'm really thrilled about what y'all are doing and want to keep following you, and we'll get you back on here as things progress as well.
And if I can make a final push to have people visit our website, the website for the musical is bullythemusical.com. People can also visit our production company that's bringing this to film, which is thunderclapproductions.com.
All right. And Chris said something about, he had a hard time finding you were a 501c3 on one of your pages or in one section or whatever that was important.
We are a 501c3. We will work on making that clearer, absolutely. Yes. But
it's on the Bully the Musical website. It didn't say that, but when I went to Thunderclap, it did say.
I see. Okay.
That was a part of it. And you can find links to both the Bully the Musical website and to Thunderclap's Facebook page on our Facebook page, facebook.com/afterhourskpft.
And we hope everybody will like both the Thunderclap and Bully pages on Facebook and on Twitter.
I don't know anything about Twitter, but Facebook is good. I'm very glad y'all came tonight. I'm glad all of y'all came tonight, because for a while, Aaron had thought we would be talking to each other. And he didn't want to do that. So, but you're all welcome to come back anytime he does. And I'll be watching for you and seeing how it goes and see where this demo goes and... I think it's going to go far.
Well, thanks for all your support.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.